on to Johnson versus General Board of Methodist Pension System. Ms. Johnson? Ms. Johnson, you're up. Turn. Proceed.
May it please the court. Good morning, Judge Posner. Good morning, Judge Tinder. And good morning, Judge Hamilton. My name is Myrdalyn Johnson, and I'm the plaintiff and the appellant in this case. As you know, this case was tried by a juror, and the decision was rendered in the defendant general board favors. And post-trial motion, the court denied my motion for a new trial. And so I'm respectfully asking this court to reverse the judgment of the jury trial and remand for a new trial, and also to reverse the district court decision regarding summary judgment in favor of the defendant general board on certain issues, because there existed a dispute of material facts that should have been construed in my favor, which would have precluded summary judgment on certain issues. I know the facts in this case is they're pretty plentiful, and also the case is a long case. It has first came up to appeal, and here it is again a second. But one of the most important facts that I like to bring to the court attention regarding the jury trial is the instruction that was given to the jury. The instruction given to the jury was grossly preemptory, basically telling the juror, this is what you must find, and finding for the defendant, rather than allowing the jury to weigh the evidence and to determine whether I have proven the facts that they were given. The court basically said, these are what adverse action or not, rather than what they are. And in looking at this court opinion relating to adverse action, which I will address a little bit later, some of the adverse action, I find that the judgment in the defendant favor was improper, because the trial court gave the incorrect or misstated the law to the juror. And because of that, those instructions essentially deprived the jury to determine what constitutes an adverse action. The error amounted to plain error and reversible, and the jury probably would have reached a different verdict. Additionally, the jury instruction permitted the jury not to consider any of the possible adverse action which I had argued for 5 days that they were. And coupled with that, the court misunderstanding of certain key elements of the facts, for example, the decision, the 2003 decision, was not until March. The court consistently held that it was January, and as a result of that, certain key elements were excluded. Certain evidentiary facts were excluded, saying that the time was too long, meaning 6 months. So those facts which could have included in my adverse action were excluded. The theory of what constitutes adverse action in a jury instruction was totally different from this court pattern jury instruction. It is well settled law that the career damaging performance review after a complaint of discrimination constituting an adverse action. And basically, even looking at certain jury instruction that was given, included in those initial jury instruction that we had, we submitted in pretrial conference different jury instruction. I basically had objected to those jury instruction conference. The district court did not conduct any pretrial. Being the case coming from the former district court, Judge Anderson, passed over to Judge Nardo, there was no instruction conference likewise. As soon as I was about to do my rebuttal after 5 days, the defendant handed me a stack of paper. I have less than 15 minutes to prepare for my rebuttal argument. So I put it to the side. So as soon as I finished the jury in as soon as I finished my rebuttal, the court went less than 30 seconds right into instructing the juror. Being a pro se and sitting there, I did not even know what to do. I thought it was disrespectful to object while the court was addressing the juror. So I waited, and as soon as the juror exit the room, I approached the bench and made my objection. But all I could object to at that time was the form that I now looked at, given by the defendant, which was a supplemental jury instruction, and a number of them were included in the final jury instruction. So I stated, and the court objected, saying that those were standard pattern jury instruction. But as I look at this court's opinion in many of the cases, I'm yet to see those type of peremptory instruction given in a retaliation case. Number of issues occurred within the case to complicate the matter even further is that the district court instructed the juror that the case was about discrimination rather than retaliation. And consistently, a number of times throughout the 5-day trial.
Wasn't it the other way around that it was about retaliation, not discrimination?
Yes, Your Honor. Okay. Right. And so I'm giving, and then even specifically one of the jury instruction that says that the court has already found that that the court found that the general board have not discriminated against me based on those same position, but the retaliation portion of the case. So coupled with that, saying that the case is about discrimination, not retaliation, and then giving an instruction like that to the juror, saying what the court already found, basically leaving the juror to say, if the court already found that she did not suffer discrimination, then certainly our verdict should come back in favor of the defendant. Some of the issues that I know there are some issues relating to summary judgment, but the way that the supplemental instruction was given was totally inappropriate. The defendant is counsel is an experienced attorney. I'm a pro se litigant, and to give me supplemental jury instruction 15 minutes prior to being instructed by the juror, even for a seasoned, experienced attorney, that would be a difficult task.
You said that there was no instructions conference.
Conference at all.
So, but had you or your opponent had a chance to submit proposed instructions to the judge?
Yes, Your Honor. We had submitted separate.
Right.
There were some key issues that we agreed on.
So the judge picked out the instructions from the instructions submitted to her. She picked some, and did she have her own instructions, or was she just picking?
Basically,
picking the parties. I'm sorry, Judge Norton. This is Judge Norton.
That's Norton.
Yeah,
yes.
I'm sorry, not here. No,
so basically what the court did was picked all the instruction that came from the defendant's side, even on the issues of the case, which we had differed on, all those instructions were taken. None of mine was, basically from my recollection, was selected.
You provided an opportunity for you and your opponent to object to each other's submission?
No, Your Honor, no. There was no opportunity.
Didn't that happen in the final pretrial or conference and development of the final pretrial order? I mean, I understand there were some later supplemental things,
right.
But I thought you all agreed on some instructions, disagreed on some,
right.
Registered those objections in the final pretrial order. Okay.
Right, that was correct. We agreed in the general instruction, but the hard crux of the matter we disagreed on. And the court did not do any. As I said, the case came over from the late Judge Anderson, so therefore there were lots of issues.
He just retired. He's not late.
Right.
I'm sorry. We still see him.
Okay. Okay. So therefore, Is it meaning that I have my I'm going in my rebuttal time? Is that
yes.
what this?
Would you prefer to reserve the rest of your time for rebuttal?
Yes, Your Honor. Yeah, thank you.
Ms. Rozicki?
Good morning, Your Honors. This case was about four promotions and a termination and a sexual harassment claim. And her claims were that she was discriminated against on the basis of her race and national origin and in retaliation for complaining of discrimination. Summary judgment was properly granted on the majority of her claims. The plan sponsor manager positions that were posted on July 31 and August 5, 2002 were filled at the time Ms. Johnson belatedly applied on August 30 of 2002. And with respect to the plan sponsor manager position that was posted on December 4, Ms. Johnson never applied. So with respect to those, summary judgment was properly granted for failure to state a prima facie case. With respect to the two team leader positions, summary judgment was granted only on Ms. Johnson's race and national origin discrimination claims. The general board articulated legitimate reasons as to why she was not selected over the other candidates, her lack of interpersonal and leadership skills, and sometimes inappropriate conduct made her less qualified in the eyes of the decision makers. There was absolutely no evidence in the summary judgment record of any motivation as to discrimination. Summary judgment was properly granted on her termination claim. She was, again, the general board articulated a legitimate non-discriminatory reason for her termination. She had secretly tape recorded various managers without their knowledge or consent in violation of the general board's core values and the Illinois Eavesdropping Act. Again, Ms. Johnson submitted no evidence in the summary judgment record that somehow her termination was a pretext for race or national origin discrimination or in any way connected to her complaints of discrimination. Lastly, in summary judgment, the general board was entitled to summary judgment on her belated sex harassment claim. Her supervisor allegedly displayed a single offensive image to her. This does not rise to the level of severe and pervasive. She also did not complain, and when the general board received the EEOC complaint, investigated. At the trial, with respect to the two team leader positions and her complaints of retaliation, the jury, after a seven-day trial, found in favor of the general board. Ms. Johnson raises four basic challenges to the trial, none of which warrant reversal. First, the trial court did not abuse its discretion in denying her motion for a new trial as being against the manifest weight of the evidence. There are waiver issues there, but in any event, the court properly held that there was ample evidence that it was her lack of leadership and interpersonal skills, not her complaints of discrimination, that resulted in the promotions going to others. The trial court also did not abuse its discretion with respect to the 11 evidentiary rulings that Ms. Johnson challenges in her opening brief on appeal. The court's rulings were not erroneous. They involved evidence that had little or no probative value, and they were, in any event, they would...
And the handling of the supplementary instructions.
What happened with respect to the instructions, Your Honor, there was a pretrial. There were proposed jury instructions on both sides. After the trial, we submitted for the judge's consideration and to Ms. Johnson some supplemental instructions.
After the trial?
After the evidence closed, you mean?
After the evidence closed, Your Honor, I'm sorry.
And was this submitted after her or after your closing argument?
Yes.
Counsel, let me just, if I could cut to the chase on this problem with the instructions. You argue that Ms. Johnson's objections are waived because she didn't raise any of them before the district court. The concern I have is whether the district judge complied with Rule 51B, which requires the court to inform the parties of its proposed instructions and proposed action on request before instructing the jury and before final arguments. Now, obviously, there are some situations where arguments may prompt kind of an interjection, an additional instruction, a caution to the jury. But how did the judge comply with Rule 51B in this case?
Your Honor, the judge did not conduct a conference.
He doesn't have to do a conference, but did he tell you and the plaintiff, here are the instructions I'm going to give?
No, he read the instructions that he selected.
Didn't you ask for a set of instructions before you wanted to argue? That seems pretty odd. Why didn't you ask the judge for a set? Judge, tell us what instructions you're going to give so we can argue the case.
Your Honor, we argued the case based on the evidence and the claims.
And then why did you need these supplemental instructions? I don't understand why you waited till after your argument to submit those.
Well,
are you contending there's something that came up in her argument that needed instruction?
Well, the supplemental instructions, one of them, the district court did, in voir dire at the very beginning, tell the panel of jurors from whom the jurors were selected that this was a discrimination claim. Throughout the trial, Ms. Johnson talked repeatedly about discrimination based on race and her Jamaican origin. It was important, we felt, to clarify to the jury.
And did you make that argument?
Yes.
So then you wanted to back that up with an instruction.
Yes. And so
Why didn't you ask that before the closing arguments?
Your Honor, we submitted them at the time the judge asked for all of the instructions.
Did you object to her arguments about discrimination in her final argument?
We objected during, yes, we did, in our argument.
In your argument, but not through objecting to her argument, right? You let her argue about discrimination.
We objected several times throughout her argument.
To her use of the term discrimination or in complaining about discrimination? Is that what you objected to?
Well, we objected whenever she would. We objected to the allegation of discrimination.
Right.
It was
so. The verdict form was that part of the pretrial order.
Yes.
And was that something you submitted?
Yes. It was a retaliation on the retaliation claims.
But she had no opportunity to respond to your request for supplementary instructions.
I think that that's correct, Your Honor. She objected after the judge read the objections. I believe that when you review the instructions that were given, they accurately state the law. The three that she...
Well, I don't understand this instruction. Documenting an employee's behavior is not an adverse employment action. I would never give an instruction like this to a jury. It's very difficult to understand.
Your Honor, I think that simply documenting...
not everything that makes an employee unhappy is an actionable, material, adverse action. That's, legal gibberish. And it's repeated, and it's very... this instruction is very confusing. And I don't think she had an adequate opportunity to object to it. He shouldn't have given it. And you shouldn't have asked for these instructions after your closing argument.
And the pretrial order didn't permit delivering instructions at that point. That was over. And those were issues you raised at the pretrial and throughout the process.
Your Honor, we submitted it with we submitted the supplemental instructions with a request for the judge to consider them. I do believe that the instructions as a whole accurately.
You finished your closing argument, and now you're asking the judge to supplement the instructions. What did you think would happen? Was he going to have a recess? Was he going to send the jury home? Or what was he, what did you think he was? How did you think he was going to handle this unusual request?
Well, Your Honor, first, there was still going to be Ms. Johnson's rebuttal, and then.
So I know. So what do you think he was going to do? Was he going to take a recess before her rebuttal, after her rebuttal, or what?
Before giving the instructions, yes.
So the jury just sits there for a half hour, and then, I don't understand. And then there's the rebuttal? I mean, you give your she argues first, then you give your argument, then he starts instructing the jury?
No, no.
And then she gives her rebuttal? Is that what you envisage?
No.
What do you envisage?
She gave her argument. We gave our argument. We also submitted a request
to
consider.
What do you mean also? Is that before your argument, during your argument, after your
after
argument? Well, that's what I'm saying. So what you envisaged was her argument, your argument, instructions, then her rebuttal.
Well,
is that what you expected?
No, we expected the instructions after her rebuttal. It was only our request that he consider those that were submitted in writing to the judge at that point in time so that he would address it before he addressed the jury.
You expected that there would be a recess after the rebuttal?
Yes.
The failure to comply with Rule 51B, it frankly seems indisputable at this point. But I have a very serious question as to whether it might have caused any harm in this case, given the jury's verdict finding that in neither of the cases did Ms. Johnson prove that she had complained of discrimination to the general board before the application. So we don't get to these later questions about it. They never got to the questions addressed by your supplemental instructions, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, thank you, Ms. Rizicki.
Thank you.
Ms. Johnson, how much time does she have? A minute? A minute.
Thank you.
Just a quick follow-up. Relating to the knowledge of the discrimination complaint that I had initially complained, I complained to Human Resources. The record shows that I had applied for a number of positions. And the record also showed that one of the decision-makers in the 2001 position indicated that I did not get the position because every time I did not get a position, I had complained to Human Resources about discrimination. Also, in terms of discrimination, was only mentioned in terms of establishing the fact that I did complain. All the decision maker knew that I complained of discrimination. The records show that Ms. Jung said I didn't report it because I didn't discriminate against her and it was directed towards her. Also, Ms. Etra Hackers, who was the decision maker in 2003, who reported to Ms. Jung. All these individuals reported to Ms. Jung. And therefore, the cat paws theory comes in, Your Honor, because the fact is that Ms. Johnson, I had good performance review up to the time I filed the EEOC complaint. The record showed that. I was an excellent employee. I received humorous awards from even some of the decision makers. I was the one who trained the people who did not get the position. I was supervising. I was training new employees. A person with lack of interpersonal skills don't train other people and train the applicant who got the position. So to say that there was issue of thing was only a setup, Your Honor. And also, in relation to the documents that were put in my employee files, they were put in my files without my knowledge at all. They were only stocked up. They had a file that called lawsuit file, and one was my performance file. So they actually were setting me up. And my final point, if the light says that I'm finished, is that the issue of my termination, the general board said I recorded meetings. But yet the general board was recording all our personal phone calls for 10 years and said it was a glitch in the system, knew it was recording, and I provided evidence to show the court. The district court did not even consider that. So for them to say they terminated me because I recorded, but they at the same time were recording all the employees' private conversation with their doctors, with their families, unaware, had absolutely made no sense at all. They're accusing me of the same action that they themselves were doing.
You said it was the final point.
Pardon me, yes, I'm finished. Do I have any more time?
No, your time is up.
My time is up. So I'm just asking the court to reverse and for a new trial. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ms. Turner, and thank Ms. Rozicki as well.